during this season, Easter, these 50 days, the gospel which we read is John. He's also very prominent at Christmas time. That's why he doesn't have a part in the cycle. It's only a 3-year cycle, Matthew, Mark, Luke. John takes care of this. Now what we're understanding, what we're led to understand now, you see, is the life of the risen Christ in the church. This week, most of the time, we'll have appearances of the Lord, as we do today to Mary Magdalene. Then we begin a treatise on the sacraments. We have John's treatise on baptism in chapter 3, his treatise on the Eucharist in chapter 6. This is the risen, living Jesus among us, loving us, touching us, healing us. This is the life of the church, and it's lived in the power of the resurrection. Well, you know what happens to us, right? 3 days into Easter time, we forget it's Easter, we forget Jesus is risen, and we're back in the same old rut we were ever in. The gospel today is meant to show us how to get out of that. See, in John, we have these four tableaux. The first one we had already, the two run to the tomb, and so forth. And John, what makes John so special? His faith. He saw the cloths, and he began to believe. What makes Mary so unspecial, up to a point? Her lack of faith. But even with her lack of faith, she has the gift of an affection for Jesus. That's a precious gift. It's a fruit of the resurrection. Some of the saints, I think I've mentioned this, I know I have, before, but they have this Mary Magdalene, this Origen, this Bernard, this Francis, special gift to have this divine affection for Jesus. We could ask for it. So here we have the first, those two men running to the tomb. Now we have Mary Magdalene. Then we have two appearances of Jesus to the disciples. One without Thomas, one with him. And this is the discourse on the resurrection. Now, do we believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Yeah, sure. Here we are. But does it penetrate our being, what we're talking about? Does it penetrate our being where we're going? To heaven? Forever? Because the human body of Jesus Christ is there drawing us right through this Eucharist. Now, let's take a quick look with the time left at the way John does this. Huh? This is a model of how Jesus draws us to faith. So Mary is there. She looks and sees the angels. And they say to her, "Why are you weeping? They've taken my Lord." If he's the Lord, who can take him anywhere? It's kind of an anomaly. They're delicate, but they're all throughout John, you see. And I don't know where they laid him. She turned around and saw Jesus, but didn't know it was Jesus. Now Jesus asks her two questions. "Woman, why are you weeping? And whom are you looking for?" That second one is the question, isn't it? Whom are you looking for? What's the meaning of your life? What are you looking for? Bigger job, more money, more popularity, more success? More? No. What are you really looking for? Now she thought it was the gardener. Part of Jesus' suffering in chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus, remember, he was perturbed. He was, nobody believes. Okay, so she thought it was the gardener. And she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." And now, Jesus takes the initiative. You see, this is where she comes into, if you will, transforming union. He takes the initiative. He says, "Miriam, Mary." And that does it, huh? She turned, and said to him, "Rabuni, my teacher." Now, Thomas is going to say, "My Lord and my God," Rabuni, but this is so full of affection. "You're all I've got. You're my teacher. You're my Lord. You're everything." So she's brought into a level of convinced faith. So Jesus says, "Stop holding on to me." She must have been clinging to his feet. You see? "I have not yet ascended to the Father." Now, she gets a commission. Because she's been touched by Jesus, she knows him. Well, when we know Jesus, what's the next step? Preach him. Tell everybody. Their eternal destiny depends on knowing this. So, Mary went and announced to the disciples, and now we see how deep this meeting with Jesus has been. "I have seen the Lord. I have seen Yahweh. I have seen O Kurios." Now, we'll all assent to the fact that Jesus is Kurios, right? Every tongue confess. Jesus is Kurios. He is Yahweh. From all eternity, the Father has given him everything he has. And Jesus has returned it. And that's the Holy Spirit. "I have seen the Lord." That is the witness of the church until the Lord comes back. In his mercy, Jesus will always make sure there are some among us who can die for that. "I have seen the Lord." But it's an invitation to us to let him move us along until, in the very depth of our being, we know he's saying our name and establishing this bond with him. We're in love with him. All of a sudden, life is different. Suffering, yeah, sure. "I have seen the Lord." That's the church's witness.